Welcome to the Whole Career Podcast with Advent Health. I'm Brandon Strawn, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sky Kellogg.
Each episode features conversations with various healthcare professionals who will share their personal career journeys, insights, and perspectives on various healthcare careers. From nursing to technology to leadership, we'll cover a wide range of topics to help you stay informed and inspired.
Whether you're just starting out in your healthcare career, looking to pivot, or a seasoned professional looking to take the next step, this podcast is for you. We hope to empower you with the knowledge and the tools needed to make a positive impact in your field. At Advent Health, we believe that we are greater as a whole, and we invite you to join us on this journey as we explore the world of healthcare careers together. Awesome. Today we have Jennifer Eddings with us to discuss her incredible journey at Advent Health. We're honored to have you with us. Jennifer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for asking. And it's an honor for me to be here today.
Awesome. Awesome. Would you mind just introducing yourself and giving us an overview of your role?
Sure. So my name is Jennifer Eddings. I am the Nurse Development Manager at Advent Health Tampa.
Awesome. Okay. And you said Nurse Development?
Yes. So what I do essentially is my role is to be a mentor and professional role model for all of our nurse residents. And that means any of our nurses coming in straight from nursing school, starting their career here, and then all the way up to 1 year. I travel with them and I help just be kind of a support for them, an extra person in their corner that they can help talk through situations, navigate through difficult things. Maybe they're just having a hard day, because let's be honest, nursing is tough. And I'm a safe place they can come to vent about it, cry about it, run it by me just to see if, you know, I probably understand. A lot of times that's all you need is a listening ear that actually gets what you're saying. That's really what I'm here to do. I also work a lot with our nursing schools, and I do a lot of, we could say, recruitment and retention would be where I think my position falls now. So I go to nursing schools, and then also the nursing students that are on our campus for their practicums or their clinical hours, make sure to connect with them as well.
Awesome. Thanks for breaking that down.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. And thank you so much for being willing to join us today. We're really excited to learn more about your career and that role that you just described to the audience later on. Just so our listening audience is aware, we will have more podcasts in the future with Jennifer Eddings to learn more about her career. But today we really want to start from the beginning. So Jen, what originally got you interested in joining the healthcare field?
You know, one of the questions that all nurses are asked probably within their first 2 or 3 weeks of nursing, of being a resident, and probably even in nursing school, you always hear people say, what's your why? They want to know why you came into nursing, what you know, prompted that or what inspired you. And I always felt so less than when I would think of my answer, because everybody has these inspiring stories. Their mom was a nurse, their grandma was a nurse. They, one of our residents herself shared that she had herself had a cardiac arrest. And so after being taken care of by an Advent Health hospital, it inspired her to want to go to nursing school and come back and work at the same place that saved her. I don't have anything like that. What had me go into the medical field was when I graduated high school, instead of going into college, I decided to just work and go into the workforce. And I worked a lot of waitressing jobs and just food service jobs. And I got pregnant. I wasn't married and I got pregnant at a young age. And so I found myself living with my parents and I had my son, Dylan. And I knew that I needed to have a better career to support him because I was still a single mom. I needed to have a better career that could support him, and I wanted one that he'd be proud of. So I was honestly sitting at home one day watching TV with Dylan, and a commercial came on for one of the local, I guess, say technical schools. It was for Concord in Memphis, Tennessee. And I dialed the number, and that's what started it.
Wow. No, that's amazing. So those TV ads actually work.
It
won you over.
It absolutely did. It did. Wow. I was like, why are they out? I'm sitting on a couch. That's what I'm doing. And I'm looking at my son and I'm like, he deserves better than this. He didn't make this decision to come into this world to a girl that didn't have a solid partner or any way to support him. And he deserved better. And I deserve better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in seeing that, I know, you know, you then went into, you know, medical assistant. What inspired you to pursue a career specifically as a medical assistant?
So those particular colleges offer an array of things. But I knew that medical assisting would give me more people time. So I thought to what I do as a waitress or in food service, I connect obviously very well with my customers. So I was like, this will give me more hands-on, one-on-one people time. And then I was just intrigued and about learning about the anatomy and all the things that come with it. That was really the reason I decided that versus surgical technologist or massage therapist or any of the other professions or certifications that they offered.
Jen, thank you so much for sharing that and just being vulnerable with us. It is so inspiring that you chose this field that you're in, and the fact that you can impact so many people in it, and it started by wanting to give your son better. And I think there's so many of the listeners and viewers that can relate to that. So thank you. And specifically being a medical assistant, I know that's the first step for a lot of people that decide to join the healthcare field. So what's the mentality that you have to have when starting out in a health career, specifically in allied health, where you're in a support role like that?
I think the mentality has to be ready to engage and ready to interact. There are some people that are a little nervous or standoffish when it comes to interacting with the general public. And that's another piece of it too, is knowing that you're going to come in contact with people of all types of people, different races, genders, cultural backgrounds. And then also you have people that are just having a bad day and they take it out on you, or they maybe you're frustrated because they're just not feeling well and they can't get their prescription filled. And you happen to be the person on the phone or in the office with them that's getting it. So it's learning to look at everybody that comes in or everyone you interact with, whether it be coworker, doctor, patient, and try to see Christ in them and try to see what Christ sees in them and treat them as such and not take it as a personal attack on you.
That's a great perspective. And I think it's awesome that you were able to, I think you mentioned you were waiting before you working in the restaurant industry, and so understanding that you did have a knack for connecting with people in that way and still wanted to be, amongst people and use your time, amongst people. So I think that's key, because, you know, for someone listening to this podcast right now, you know, you can take what you're currently doing, right? Even if you want more for yourself, and you can still include the aspects of your current job that you love and find a job, that may be higher paying or maybe just a better situation than what you're currently in, and add those great aspects of your current job to, you know, your new job or, you know, your new career. So I appreciate you sharing that. How did starting off as a medical assistant give you a different perspective as you moved into nursing?
Starting as a medical assistant, you have that education behind you. It was, I want to say, if I remember correctly, it was a 9-month certification course for medical assisting, but you learned the very basics, like medical root words and certain medications and what certain acronyms stand for. So going into the nursing field, I feel like it gave me almost a leg up because I was able to understand things that maybe someone going straight into nursing without ever having any career or dealings with an allied medical field or allied health field, I was just able to understand the things a little bit quicker and didn't maybe need as much guidance because I had my foundation laid already as a medical assistant. Now, obviously, there's many, many, many things that you learn as a nurse that you aren't taught as a medical assistant, nor are you allowed to do based on, as a medical assistant certification, RN is obviously licensure. So I had the people skill part already down, which I know we spoke about it before. I am a huge advocate, like, anyone that comes in for an interview or anything with me, and I know we'll talk about my management experience at a later time, but that was a key thing we looked for. If they had been in the service industry, hospitality or food service industry, that was a huge indicator that they were probably going to do well with the people aspect of nursing, because it's the same people that you interact with on a daily basis. So I had my people skills there. I knew that I would do okay with that. I wasn't nervous talking to people, strangers, or I wasn't nervous talking to physicians, when that's a big one. I'll tell you, working a lot with our nursing students and residents, they are intimidated to speak to our physicians. I understand exactly why they are, but I think it is a false sense or a false idea. Our physicians generally are incredibly welcoming and easy to talk to. But there's still that little thing in your head that was like, oh, I'm really scared. So a lot of those fears I had already went through and felt and conquered in my previous medical assisting job. So I was able to focus more on the patient care and the actual skills that I was learning.
Thank you, Jen. And as you know, those that are in the field that are thinking about pursuing a career in medical assisting or even nursing, what is the thing that kept you personally motivated, especially during those 11 years of being a medical assistant? That's a role that can see high turnover, can feel maybe lesser than out in the industry. So what kept you motivated, and what's that encouragement that you have for those in that field right now?
What kept me motivated to stay in the medical assisting world would absolutely be the patients that I did encounter and the difference I could feel that I was making in their lives. So during my time as medical assistant, I was in a GI office the entire time. I worked in Tennessee while I lived there. And of course, I worked here at a local clinic when I moved to Florida. But at the time when I started, hepatitis C, for instance, was treated with a 48-week course of a very difficult medication, or a combination of two medications, would make the patients feel incredibly sick. A lot of horrible side effects, but at the end of the day, you were saving your liver. So it was kind of, you had to weigh the good with the bad. And there were days where those patients would call me and they would ask only for me because I was the one that could lift them up, encourage them. I would know what to say or be able to give them ideas. I would maybe the patient's wife would call me and say, listen, can you call Bob? You know, he's not doing great today, but he's not going to talk to me because he doesn't want to worry me. But he would talk to Jennifer, the medical assistant, because he didn't have that sense of responsibility to protect me. So those relationships, to be honest with you, is everything that kept me motivated to stay in medical assisting and then want to pursue a higher degree.
Thank you for sharing that. And so what are some of the skills that you gained as an MA? Like, if you were to talk to a current MA right now, what are some of the skills that you think they should be honing in on as they maybe prepare to decide to break into nursing? Like, what are some things that you think, you know, would make them, of course, you're never absolutely 1000% ready, but what are some of those skills that you think they should be like honing in on right now?
Aside from the people aspect and working on communication and being able to work alongside people of different generations and backgrounds, I think practicing or just honing in on your medication, knowing what your medications are, knowing what they're for, trying to learn what the side effects are or what the dosing is. Some medications are weight-based, others are not. And those are important things to know as well. I think injection technique or phlebotomy are good things to hone in on as well. When you become a nurse, you no longer typically have a lab that you can send your patients to get the blood drawn. Chances are you're drawing it yourself. So being able to be comfortable with sticking your patients, being comfortable having to give injections, and then being also able to teach back what you've already learned as far as how to give injections. That would be the main one for patients that are about to go home as a newly diagnosed diabetic who are going to have to give themselves insulin injections. So learning those education pieces as well, figuring out how did this patient learn best from me, or what did I say that finally clicked it for them to make them understand this is the best way to do it. And then just remembering all of that and being able to carry it forward I think that's pretty much it.
And Jen, obviously we've really honed in on, you know, your first steps into the healthcare field and being a medical assistant, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that are kind of waiting for that light bulb moment, right? To know when that change should come in their career or if they're being called towards something more. So can you talk a little bit about what that moment was for you and that moment that you decided to pursue a career in nursing and how that kind of changed your trajectory in life?
I can say that I had felt little pulls towards going to do it. I would see at that time we were still doing paper charting. So I would see notes from previous people compared to the notes that I would take. And I seemed to have an interest in what was causing the disease, not just he's here for this, move on to the vitals. I did feel that I took a special interest in who is this person? What is he here for? Why did that happen? What has he done to try to fix it? And what can I do to help make it better? And I would notice little things like that. And then of course certain people would maybe say things, but there was a doctor that I worked with named Dr. Daniel Griffin. And hang on, I have his picture. He pulled me in his office one day and he was like, Jennifer, and by this time I had had more children. And he is like, I don't know if you're done with this yet, meaning having children. He said, but I'm telling you, as soon as you're able to, you need to go back to school because you have a gift that is going to be able to reach a lot more people if you're in a hospital setting versus a clinic setting. And he was absolutely a mentor for me the entire time. This is his picture. That's not that big. So he, oh, I showed my nail. He would do all the things with me. I've been wearing costumes, guys, for years. This is just what I like to do. And it's funny. And then I shared a birthday. Mine is April 5th. His was April 6th. And sadly, he passed away a few months ago. But that is why.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen, for sharing that. And what an inspiration it is to hear you speak on that. And I hope that others, if they don't have a mentor, are inspired to find one and to take that step out and to have someone speak life into them like that, because look at what that did for you. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And I think for someone hearing this, like, what was the amount of time that it took from when he told you that and you took action, right? I just want to know, like, because it's not always, you know, okay, the next day I went and signed up. What was that like for you when he told you that and you made the decision in your mind, but then how long did it take you to take action and actually start school? And what was that process like?
So I was pregnant with my third child when he said that. And I couldn't remember exactly the month, but months I was, but it was about 2 months-ish after that. And I delivered Hunter, my third child. Once I was done my maternity leave, then I came back and that's when I started looking into the colleges. I did a local community college and I just started off with regular, like my prerequisite classes. So I would say within 6 months is when I took action. It would take me a while to finish. And that was due to life and choices that I made and decisions that I had to make, yes. But taking action within 6 months, because I still felt it and he still kept saying it. So right. It wasn't like this was a one conversation. This was every time he had a chance to remind me of what he saw in me.
Well, shout out to Dr. Daniel for being persistent, right? And trying to make sure that he continued to push you. Can you just talk about what that transition was like from MA to nursing? And as you do that, reminding us of like how you grew within the ranks. Of course, later on we'll have, you know, as you'll be a continued podcast guest, our honorary, you know, guest, right? But I just want you to remind them, like, yes, you're a nurse educator right now, but what was that transition from MA to nursing, which I'm assuming you didn't go from medical assistant to nurse educator or nurse development, right? Like you went into probably a entry-level type of RN position or staff RN position. Absolutely. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, medical assisting in Tennessee, life happens. I filed for a divorce and by this point I had 4 children on my own. And I knew I needed to make a change for us and to get a better life for all of us. So I just picked up my things and I moved to Florida without really any family here at all. Just had an opportunity given to me, so I took it. And then I was able to get back into the prerequisites, was able to get into nursing school. I graduated from Pasco Hernando State College in 2017 and came straight to Avent Health. So I started here at Avent Health Tampa as a nurse resident in 2017. I did go straight into the ICU, which is not common now, especially here at this hospital, because we have such a robust internship program now, there's not really space for the residents as well. So I did start out in ICU, worked nights for 2 years. And then I went into we called it at that time, a CV coordinator role. It's probably very similar to maybe like a house supervisor, but more for the clinical side. Did a lot of work with our ER doctor, our cardiovascular team for patients that came in with active STEMIs. Was still on nights, went to days. And I think when I went to day shift is when, because at nights, your people encountering is very limited. There's only like, you know, a skeleton crew here. But day shift is when you have all of your administrative personnel and a lot of your other physicians that are here rounding. So when I went to day shift in that same role, things just kind of took a turn for me. I just was able to make more friends and I talked to more people and I expressed that this is what I want to do and these are the things that I think I'm good at. And I went from that to in March of 2021, I applied for, interviewed for, and was given the promotion up to ICU nurse manager, the same ICU that I started in back in 2017. And then how I got to nurse development manager is pretty, it's a kind of a long story, but I'll spare you the details. I will say this part. So I was nurse manager during the second round of COVID for our hospital. And I don't know if you weren't in the hospital, you may never have realized there was two rounds, but there was. So I got a phone call one day and they said, Jennifer, you're going to need to open up your 16-bed COVID ICU and you got to do it by tomorrow. And so I'm dialing all these numbers, calling all of my friends that work in facilities and, you know, engineering. I'm like, guys, we got to get this unit ready. It hadn't been really utilized in several months. And the first person to come to the unit to help me, his name was Eric. He was our painter, young gentleman. And he's in there painting away. And within a week, Eric was intubated, sedated, paralyzed, and prone, fighting for his life from COVID in one of the very same rooms that he painted. Now, Eric's story was a little bit different. So he was here for a very, very long time. And over the course of that second round of COVID, we had our beds full every single day. And out of that 2-3 month, I couldn't even really tell you exactly the longevity of the time frame now, but out of that entire time, Eric is the only one that walked away from our unit and survived. So that is incredibly difficult for anyone to handle. So not only, you know, you have nurses and doctors and nurse techs and dietary and physical therapists and occupational therapists, and we are all in this industry to help people. And no matter what we did every single day, it didn't matter. It wasn't helping. And that is very difficult for someone to go home and sit with because you feel like you failed. We all know that nobody failed as a person or as a doctor or as a nurse, but you take it personal when you are in this position. And the amount of times that I would have to go call for extra body bags. And I know that sounds morbid and I'm sorry, but it's just the reality. Staying and working double shifts, making sure the team was okay. So not only were our patients dying, but my team, my nurses, my doctors, my techs, my pucks, my everybody, they were suffering and they were sad. And so kind of like a light switch for me at that moment is when my passion went from providing excellent patient care, which of course is still an absolute number one priority. But I knew that there was a lack of somebody or something providing exceptional people care for our team, because our team is coming in every day and we're pouring out everything that we have and there's nothing coming back. And that just I didn't think that was going to end well. So I started pulling out the costumes again. All I know to do to make people to help people is to make them laugh or, you know, just provide something. I don't know. I did whatever I could. So more of the things. And then I had the opportunity to meet Sky and Robert at a nursing conference in May of 22, I think. May of 22 for NTI. It was one of the first conferences that Evan Health participated in. After the pandemic was over. So we kind of showed up in force to show that Avent Health felt like we were safe to go back out into the public and to commingle with people. And I was on a meeting with them and they were telling me the rules and they were like, your uniform is going to be a pair of khakis and a polo. I was like, no, it's not. I was like, I'm not wearing that. And I didn't say it on the meeting though, because I'm still no one knows who I am. But I emailed Sky almost immediately and I was like, hear me out. Here's some pictures. This is what I do for employee engagement. Cause by this time it was hospital wide. Like we have I call it a culture committee. It's called the Healthy Work Environment here at the Tampa campus, whose total goal is to bring joy and laughter and make people feel appreciated and just try to elevate the just the atmosphere and bring a good culture to the group. So by this time we were doing hospital-wide things. So I sent Sky pictures, showed her ridiculous things, the tutu, the flamingo, I dressed like a carrot one time, like it's a whole thing. And I was like, this is what I do. But if you don't want me to, I'll wear your khakis, that's fine. And she was like, oh, I don't know what to do about this. I got to talk to Robert. I'll call you back. So then they email me. They're like, listen, it's post-COVID. There are no rules. Bring it all and we'll figure it out later. If we have to ask for forgiveness, we will. But just bring it. I brought it and that was it. That was the beginning of something very beautiful, in my opinion. And Fiona and I were not even off the airplane before I got an email from Sky asking us to participate in all of the future events. So because of that work, and I'd already started posting a lot on social media about my ICU team and the healthy work environment, because again, I think that there is an abundance of negative talk about things and you don't always hear the good. So I started just posting on social media all the good things that were going on, not only at Avon Health Tampa, but at Avon Health in the ICU. So I just started kind of increasing my spread of who I spoke about on social media. So all the things. And then I started doing hiring events and it became very clear that I was no longer going to be able to do both things. So was born the nurse development manager position here at Avon Health Tampa. That this campus supports me and supports our corporate system to allow me to still be a brand ambassador and travel with them to certain events. But then when I'm here, that this is what I get to do. I literally get paid to love people now. And I don't.
No, and you're amazing at what you do. And I can tell everyone listening and watching that I have that email saved. I have those pictures saved. I remember that moment. And I don't think Avon Health was ready for all that you would bring. And we are so grateful for you and the joy that you bring to our conferences, our career expos, events, everything that you attend. You make a memorable impression, right, for everyone that you meet. And that is just a beautiful reflection of what our hope is here at Avon Health, which is to extend love, right, to extend the healing ministry of Christ. So it's a beautiful thing to see. And we hope those that are listening and watching that maybe don't know Jen or don't follow her yet on LinkedIn, that you would, because you will be inspired from what you see and what you hear. And we're grateful that we get to be in your presence and to get to be inspired by you. And I know so many others throughout Avon Health would say the same thing. And Jen, you're welcome. And speaking of inspiration, obviously you work with a lot of nursing students right now. And I just want to know what your piece of advice would be for a nursing student, specifically someone like you, right, who is in nursing school going through a career change, maybe even what some would consider a little bit later in life than what you would start nursing school, right? What's that piece of advice you have for someone that is making that change right now?
Well, one, thank you for asking that question in such a way that you didn't have to outwardly say, Jennifer, you were kind of old when you went into nursing school. So I appreciate you.
No.
It is clear that nursing was absolutely my second career. So my advice for all nursing students, just keep going. That's it. Just keep going. If you have to take it 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, however you need to break it up to make it seem more bearable, keep going. I know it's dark. I know it seems like a storm at times. There's so much going around. There's so many things that are going through your life and all these responsibilities and clinicals and lecture and test and care plans that you're never going to probably use, but that's okay. You still have to do them. It's a storm and there is always a rainbow that comes after a storm. And I promise that the rainbow's over here. I'm living proof of it, and just keep going and you'll get to it. That's for all nursing students. Now, speaking to my friends who are perhaps doing a change of career, it's not too late. You're not going to be the oldest one in your class. And even if you are, who cares? You are doing something that people all around you only wish that they had the courage and strength to do. So everybody keep going. But for the ones that are changing careers, it is possible. It's not too late. You still have time to make a difference. And especially, I know, Sky, we've talked to you about this before. Anyone coming into the nursing profession now, especially our people that are doing a different change of career. They're coming into it after they saw what COVID did to nursing. Nobody wanted to do that to nursing, but it was necessary. And they saw what happened to us. And they know that it could literally happen again tomorrow. And they still answered that call in their heart to come into this profession. And that is so incredibly brave. And I am so incredibly thankful to all of them for coming in. And I just hope that they're as proud of themselves as I am.
That's huge. That's huge. Thank you for that encouraging word. And, you know, we have a ton of second career nurses who are, you know, they have these thoughts that, you know, maybe it's too late. So we appreciate you just encouraging those nurses or future nurses, right? Is what we should say. So, you know, we've been having fun, but now we would like to have a little bit more fun and, you know, kind of go into a rapid fire question.
Oh, great.
All right. So are you ready?
We are ready.
Okay. And I just want to emphasize the word rapid, right? So yes, they're questions, but just remember, you know, I'm only going to give you maybe 3 seconds to answer each question. So I'll start with the first one. What was your very first job?
Schlotsky's Deli. Do you want me to spell it? Because I can. Schlotzskys.
Okay. I love it.
Wow.
Write that down, Brandon.
Write it down. Schlotsky's Deli, my very first job.
Okay. Scott, you want to take the next one? We can just trade back and forth.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite book or movie?
Favorite movie is Shawshank Redemption, by far. Followed up closely by Fried Green Tomatoes. We're going to go with Morgan on that one.
Morning person or night owl?
Both. I'm an all day person. I really am. But I am an annoying morning person is what I've been told.
Oh, okay. Yes. I know those. Yeah. Like you're excited, beyond excited. And it kind of trickles to everyone. And they're just like looking at you like, Jen, it's 8 a.m. It's 8 a.m. Let me pause really quickly. Are you, throughout your nursing career, have you, you know, gone between working nights and days and different types of shifts?
So for the first two years, I did night shift bedside. And then I did an additional, I'd say probably 9 months as CV coordinator at night. And then I went to, and I left a little part out. I did do a second nursing job in between COVID. I felt pulled to be as present as possible. And I will not mention where else I was working, but I was working kind of all over the city. And that was night shift as well. But then when I went to day shift, it's been day shift ever since.
Okay. What is your favorite way to unwind after a long day at work?
Probably, honestly, mindless scrolling on Facebook, looking at memes that I think are funny. That's probably the best. Sometimes I'll do Sudoku, but it's mostly just scrolling.
Jen, what is your favorite hobby outside of work?
I love the water. So I love being anywhere around the water. So boating, beaching, swimming, long hot baths, whatever. Water is what I just love being more.
Dogs or cats?
Neither. I know. You have to edit it. I know. Sky, I'm going to say dogs for you. Here's the thing. I love other people's animals. But I've got so much on my plate. And I've got 4 kids who will tell me to my face that they're going to take care of the animal. And they're liars. All of them are liars and they don't. And then this girl gets stuck doing it. And it's just a lie.
True.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick which one of my favorite friends' animals, it's definitely dogs.
What's the best career advice you've ever received?
It was to go back to school. It was from Dr. Griffin to go back to school. Absolutely.
Shout out Dr. Griffin. That's awesome. That was like, I feel like that was like your pivot moment. Like, even if it didn't happen like right away, like that was like your pivot moment. And it's nice because I think we all need that moment. But I think sometimes at least you were able to identify that moment, like in the moment, if that makes sense. Kind of. Like
I was. But myself, I'm telling you, I've pulled back onto that time and pulled more from it over the years. Just like when I tell people when I go to the conferences, like, what do you do there? I'm like, honestly. Not a lot. I was like, people call me a nursenality now, but like, I'm just there as a personality. I'm there to tell people what I see in them because I see so much good in so many people. And that's my goal. Let me love on you. Let me encourage you. Let me tell you your dress is fire today, because it is. Let me tell you that your hair is on point. Or let me tell you that the way you just spoke to me about where you want to go in life and what you want to do and the way you were able to articulate, I'm pretty sure you might be leadership one day. Like, those are the things that I want to do. And I know it's because of the impact he had on me by telling me what he saw in me when maybe I didn't see it myself. So yes, I felt it in the moment, but it definitely has continued to pay forward.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll do a couple more. Go ahead, Sky.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. What's your favorite food?
Ah, pizza. And embarrassingly enough, I love gas station pizza.
Love it.
I know. Brandon.
I have absolutely never in my entire life heard anyone say that gas station. But hey, this is your rapid fire question, not mine. So yeah. what's your favorite travel destination?
So I just came back from vacation from my favorite travel destination ever. And it was a cruise. So I got to go to Cozumel, Honduras, and then Costa Maya. And I loved every bit of it. And I'll say Honduras is my favorite, which I think it's Roatan is how you say it. I held a sloth.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah. You can't be holding a sloth, Brandon. I'm sorry. This doesn't happen. And okay. I see your face and I feel like there's a little disbelief going on here. I'll be honest, I feel judgment, Brandon. Ever since the pizza, I felt a little bit of judgment. But it's all right. And I wish, Brandon, did you see Sky's face when I said neither animal? Because she was like, it was total disappointment.
Yeah.
It was like a thumbs down moment from Sky.
It's fair to say we've both been shocked at points during this rapid fire.
Definitely.
Okay. Jen, what's your favorite social media platform?
I'm going to say Facebook. LinkedIn has become a very nice favorite. These young kids are all about Instagram. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. It's not something I connect very well with. It's just different. And I've recently gotten into the world of TikToks, and those are kind of fun. So we'll see. But it's Facebook.
So, okay, Facebook's your favorite social media. I just thought of a question I wanted to ask. So for an MA that's out there that's thinking about going into nursing, what's like a resource that you may tell them, like whether it's YouTube or I don't know, like a nursing newsletter, something that they could be like looking at right now as they kind of prepare to like get their mind on maybe jumping into nursing?
I'll tell you, I think the biggest perceived barrier for medical assistants to go into nursing is, can I do it? Can I figure out going to school and working at the same time? Because chances are they need to still work while they're in school. I did the entire time. And it's, can I do it? Is there funding available? Is there tuition assistance? How do I get a loan? How does the FAFSA work? What is that? It's very overwhelming when you look at it from back here at the starting line. It is very overwhelming because it's just so much that just probably hasn't been something I've ever thought about before. I know I hadn't. So I think that's something that they could be looking at or getting some information on. And you've given me an amazing idea. I absolutely could share some of those resources and say, hey, if you're looking, go here. This is an easy guide as to how to do it. And this is what you can do to get you there. I think most of the time, once the medical assistant's in the door of nursing school, they're good.
All right. I'll do one more rapid fire. What's your favorite season of the year?
I'm going to say fall. And I know we don't have a fall here in Florida, but it definitely was my favorite season. When I had a fall. And then if I didn't say that, it's spring because it's my birthday.
Got it. So final thought, right, as we close, what do you want people to take away from this conversation? And how do you hope your story will impact others?
I want people to see me as just a human. Like, I am just like everybody else. I didn't have anything handed to me. I made certain decisions. It put me in certain situations. And I just had to overcome them. And it was hard. And it wasn't easy. Single mom of four with two divorces in her belt. Like, that's not easy. But it's not the end of everything. You can still go on from there. You are not defined by your past or by your mistakes at all. Your whole future is out there waiting for you. And that's what I want them to see. I want them to see that it hasn't always been glitter and sparkles and flamingos for me. This is just where I've been able to grow to be, and I hope I never stop growing. But it is possible for everybody, absolutely everybody. I have stories that I get blessed enough to hear from conferences and things of people that were homeless as children, that were literally emancipated at 15 years old, living from hotel or whatever, all, and finally got themselves into nursing school, and they struggled, but then here they are, and now they're leaders. And now they are, you know, chief nursing officers or directors of nursing or the director of education, or they're on 5 South being the most amazing bedside nurse ever. We all have stories. I don't want anyone else to let their story keep them from pursuing what they feel called to do.
Thank you, Jen. That is just a beautiful way to end this conversation today. We are so grateful that you shared a small part of your grand story that we know we will hear more of in upcoming episodes. But thank you for being our guest today, our very first guest on the Whole Career Podcast. We are so grateful for you. And thank you to our audience for listening to the Whole Career Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform to stay up to date with the latest episodes. And if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, please feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram @LifeAtAvantHealth. Until next time, take care.